El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And even on these evenings before Christmas, we go anywhere. Other talk shows wish they could go but can't, to bring you the very finest in broadcast talk radio entertainment. Now then.
Well, you're really sort of stretching, aren't you?
Yeah, it does feel like I'm stretching, and I don't have to. I mean, I know exactly what I want to say, but for a moment there, I thought I was going to be blasphemous, which I am not, and which I would not be. Now, later on tonight, speaking of blasphemy, later on tonight, we are having our Phil Hendry Christmas Carol. This is the third annual. You know, we used to do a lot of things on the show, annual things, and then we just gave them up because we got bored. Like, we used to do the 100 top phone calls of the year.
Yeah, but that was only like 10.
Yeah, we only did 10 of them, but we would claim it was the 100 top phone calls of the year. Did that every July 4th. We got tired of that. It was too much work. We like to do things that you guys will enjoy and take as little work as possible. Isn't that a fair trade-off? Of course it is. For instance, tonight's Christmas Carol, while we did think of pre-recording it, that would have meant we would have taken the guts of the essence of radio, which is live, we would have taken the guts completely out of it. Also, it's more difficult to record these things. It's going to be easier for us to just come in here, throw a few sound effects up, say a lot of dumb stuff, and get out of here with our with our rear end intact.
Your rear end intact.
We'll just get out of here. You know, we'll get out of here having delivered to you. I think a very quality hour of entertainment, and we won't be any worse for the worse for the wear. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I don't want to get too silly here because we are going to talk relatively seriously concerning the holiday, the Christmas holiday, and most especially the Christmas holiday this year because it falls on a Sunday. And atheists, there's an atheist group, and there's a number of atheist groups, as you know, who make it their business to complain about Christmas. But I'm very, very fortunate to have with us Carl Botten, who is with Proud American Atheists, and this is a group of people who do not like to cause a problem. They're not here to rock the boat, but they have a campaign called Enough is Enough, and they're going to be talking with us about that here in just a couple of minutes, the idea of Christmas falling on a Sunday. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and our website, philhendryshow.com. If you have a backstage pass, why don't you check us out on Phil TV and HD? You can watch us coming this year. We are going to make our video casts, the on-demand version of our video casts, compatible with all of your Apple products, whether it be your iPad or your iPhone. That is a feature that will very much be welcome, I know, by you, and one that we're looking forward to providing for you. And as far as live streaming of our video casts on Apple products, on iPads, we are working on that as well. But keep in mind, 99% of the industry does not have live streaming, live flash streaming on iPad or Apple, other than places like Major League Baseball and the National Football League, because they have billions and billions and billions of dollars. But nonetheless, we're going to do everything that we can to continue to provide an upgrade, as we do, in the quality of our product upon its delivery to you. And I'm telling you, on demand for iPhones and iPads is going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing, and that's coming very, very soon as well. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number, the Phil Hendry Show here. And let me get on the line here, Carl Botten. Carl is with us from Los Angeles tonight to talk about this program that you guys have. Carl, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Thanks for having us.
What is the program, and again, the name of it is?
Yeah, well, the name of it is Enough is Enough. You had that right.
And you're an atheist, the name of your organization.
The name of our organization is Proud Atheists of America, and we mean that in every sense of that. We are very proud Americans. We're very proud members of our society. We are not here to cause problems for anyone. We're here simply to celebrate, if you want to call it that, exercise, if you want to call it that, our right as Americans to believe as we wish. But we are not here to interfere with anyone's religious beliefs. We recognize that the culture of America, the society itself, has very, very deep roots. I think it's a little arrogant of some of our atheist brothers and sisters to insist that practices that are ages old be reversed, that we're not talking about slavery, we're not talking about women's right to vote, any other infringements on personal freedom.
So you feel that the assertion of the atheist viewpoint in our society should go a little slower?
Well, I don't know if that's the word. I think the word is more diplomatic, and I think it can be. And I think we can work with people. We don't have to constantly make ourselves the enemy.
All right. So to that, and I have to tell you, I think that's refreshing, and I think.
Thank you.
I think it is, and I think it's probably needed in a lot of areas of our society, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what, Phil? We agree with that. We really do. I won't point out any specifics, but we agree with that.
All right, but now let's talk about your program called, what is it again? It is...
Well, the name, and it's a working title. We're not married to the title, but Enough is Enough is, it encompasses, I guess it grasps the essence of our quest to ensure that we have a fair society and that we're not unduly burdening people. We've tried to work since Proud Atheists of America was founded in 2002 in Washington, D.C. We've always tried to be as diplomatic as possible. We've tried to be as cooperative as possible. And never have we approached any issue from any standpoint having to do with being dictatorial or dogmatic or insisting on our point of view or interfering with other people's rights to express themselves their way. So Enough is Enough is a little bit of a change for us.
All right. Enough is Enough, though, is about what?
I'm sorry, Phil.
No, I'm glad to get the background. I really am.
All right. Enough is Enough is our... It's our view that we have Christmas and we have Sunday, where people go to church and the day is taken off and it is the Lord's Day, and this is how Christians view that day. Excellent. Now we have Christmas on Sunday. So now we have a hyper-concentrated, hyper-focused day of Christianity. And I think in that instance, Phil, it goes over the line. It goes over the line that we have sort of drawn in the sand to say, you know, we have been cooperative. We have done everything we can to work with our fellow Americans in exercising our rights of religious freedom, their rights of religious freedom. And now they have, it seems, they have initiated... An aggressive move whereby we have Christmas on a Sunday, which hyper focuses.
Yeah, but this is not something anybody planned.
No, I know that no one planned it, but it is not something that you can't undo. You can celebrate Christmas on Monday. You could have celebrated on Saturday. You could move the day.
But it's a very, very holy day in the Christian faith.
I understand that it's a holy day in the Christian faith, and I also understand that Sundays are a very, very holy day in the Christian faith. And I also understand that Easter is a very holy day. I understand that there are lots and lots of holy days, and we've done our very best as atheists to, at least our organization, and we do boast some 11,000 members across the United States. And we're gaining more traction every day, and I think it's because of our non-confrontational approach. So because we are non-confrontational, and we wish to work with people rather than against them, it's hard for us to say, well, there has to be a line in the sand. And that was the line in the sand. It's been crossed.
Well, the line in the sand, you didn't draw a line in the sand saying, as long as Christmas doesn't fall on Sunday.
No, absolutely not. But what we did say was that, okay, we recognize these days as holidays. I had no idea, I don't think anyone really had any idea, that these days were going to become, that you could double them up or you could lay one on top of the other and it would suddenly become a monument of religion that goes beyond, I think, what the Founding Fathers recognized. And even still... goes not just beyond that, but goes to an area of infringement on the rights of atheists.
How do your rights get infringed by there being not just a Sunday, but Christmas on top of that?
It's offensive for us to, I think other atheists have expressed this, and I'll try and express it in a the best way I know how. It's offensive for us as atheists to see this day of Sunday have now Christmas laid on top of it. It's painful enough when you are inundated on television and radio and so forth with these religious messages. And I was laughing before you went on the air, Phil. You were playing the song "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," and I commented when I had heard that song a couple of weeks ago. I said, "It's actually one of the most painful times of the year for atheists, because this year we not only have the affront that is a Sunday, now we have the double offense of that Sunday being not only Sunday, but now people are going to church because it's Christmas as well. And so you have this doubling up. You're going to church, then you have to go to church for Christmas."
No, you don't have to do that.
Well, I know you say that, but that a lot of people take the occasion, because it's political for a lot of people, to give us an extra jab, to put a thumb in our eye, to give us a little bit of an elbow, and say, "Look what we get to do." And they go to church on Sunday morning, and they go to Mass. And then, of course, we have midnight Mass. So the day has become a monstrosity of overdoing it.
Now, you mentioned Saturday, and that's kind of you're talking about midnight Mass.
That is correct.
That's not really Saturday. I mean, I know you're going to Mass on a Saturday, but by the time Mass starts, it's Sunday.
Well, that's true, Phil, but let's be honest. It's Saturday night into Sunday. It becomes an event that not only do Christians and Catholics go, but also non-believers, because it's now an event. It's now something that people have to be seen at.
All right, we have with us Carl Bodden here from, and we'll take a break, Carl. I appreciate you being with us this evening. Carl Bodden from Proud Atheists of America. Now, not only do you have Sunday, but you've got a double header going on Sunday. You got Sunday, and you have Christmas on top of Sunday. And there are some atheists who believe, even though they've tried to work with Christians and Jews and other people of faith, they believe that this is just too much. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL. Later on tonight, we have our Christmas Carol starring Bud Dickman. That's at midnight Pacific time here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with Carl Bodden in a moment. 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Somebody wanted to know, what is the, on Phil TV in HD, we have a bit of a video clip that's on our green screen. It's the video clip that is the background for our video cast tonight. That is an actual, believe it or not, that is an actual clip of London in the year 1903. This is film footage that was taken by a photographer, some man with a moving picture camera, and this is London and the different parts of London. And you're seeing Hackney's there, and you're seeing a lot of different stuff. And it's the City of London, 1903. I thought we'd throw that up there, given the fact that tonight is Christmas Carol night. On the line with us here is Carl Bodden. And, Carl, I thank you for being with us. And we're talking about your tolerance of Christianity and how it's getting too much with the doubling up, as you call it, of Christmas and Sunday.
I know it's a celebration, it's an annual celebration that people enjoy, but you just mentioned going into your interview with me, or this segment of the interview, that you're going to be doing some rendition of or some recording of A Christmas Carol, correct?
Yes.
And it's as if, as an atheist, we're surrounded by this continuing and unrelenting pushing of the idea of God.
Now, Christmas Carol is not really considered overtly religious.
But it is religious. There is a constant message throughout that particular work by Charles Dickens of Jesus Christ, of God, and of the day that Jesus was born, and so forth. So it's a unrelenting, unhalting, unyielding effort to proselytize this. And no matter what us as atheists do, no matter how much we give, no matter how much we say, of course, we understand, of course you can have your religion. May we have our non-belief. Every time I turn around, I've got something that is essentially pushing me further into a corner and further into a corner. Now on Sunday, it was enough to have people going to church. I had to deal with that. And as an atheist, we all deal with it. We deal with it in our own private way as best we can. Now, we have Christmas on top of that. So the day becomes as much of a funeral dirge. And
I mean, you're saying it's really depressing for you, huh?
It's very depressing. If you're an atheist, yes, it's extremely depressing to see so much. Some people might say stupidity. I don't think it's stupidity. To see so much delusional behavior.
Delusional behavior, watching people celebrating Christmas.
Unfortunately, Phil, and I don't mean offense, but that's my opinion.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go over here to Will with Phil and with Carl here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, how you doing? Look here.
Good.
I would agree that Christianity and also the New and Old Testament needs to be looked at again in the year 2012. We need to look at it from a fresher eye and just, you know, basically, you know, come up with some new answers of what's going on, because those people back there didn't have a real grasp for the reality that we know today. But here's my point.
I'm not talking about you in particular.
What I'm saying
My life has been ruined enough by that.
Well, I'm saying it's a strangeness in the way you present yourself, because you seem to be angry. Why does it bother you that other people worship?
Oh no, sir. I'm not. I would say that I'm of all atheists, I'm the least angry.
I'm an agnostic. I just don't know. But I don't say definitively.
All right, but my point is that I'm not.
That it is.
Well, I'm not. I don't want to argue that. But what I'm saying is, many atheists are much more extreme than me. No, I want to work with people and say, of course you need to have Christmas. Of course you want to have Sunday. But do you have to have them on the same day?
Why does it bother you at all? I mean, you should be depressed about something, be depressed about war. Be depressed about the economy. But why?
Well, I'm depressed I'm depressed about the wrong kind of war. I think the right kind of wars I'm very happy to see. I don't think beating Hitler in war was a bad thing. You may disagree, but I don't. Now, as pertains to God, I think that God is all well and good, but why does it have to be... I'm going to use a colloquialism here, Phil. I hope you don't mind. Why does it have to be stuffed up my rear end?
Well, that's a little crude.
I apologize, but...
You
know what I mean. It's stuffed up there.
The reason for
Jesus
coming
was a what?
To this country is to, you know, worship with freedom. I mean, let people do what they do. As long as they're not harming anyone, let them do what they do.
I want to, sir.
You seem more like you're coming from an antichrist sort of place, because you got a little anger there.
No, I'm just saying that if you have Sunday, that's one thing. But then you have Sunday and Christmas. What's that about?
So what?
Why do they have to...
It seems like an appropriate day to me.
Why do they have to pile it on like that?
Why
can't it be separated? Well, I care because it piles on the pain that I feel.
Look at the football
game. I'll give you an example. When you see, and I'm going to assume, and forgive me, are you African-American, sir?
Yes.
All right. If you were to see a Confederate flag, it would be a little painful, I would think, just as the swastika is to Jewish people. Of course, the Confederate flag and swastika should be painful to all
people. It's apples and oranges. Apples and oranges.
Wait a minute, I got to hear this again. Hold on, I got to hear this again. You said a kid in shorts going into church with his parents is what?
I said that the family scene in America of everybody piling into church is like a swastika, yes.
To an atheist.
Something's wrong with you, and they better take
I don't understand.
Something's wrong with you, and someone better take a closer look at you.
Oh, I see. So because I disagree with you, I'm mentally deranged.
No, the fact that it bothers you to your core means that something is awry, that you don't have the ability to compartmentalize things that doesn't have anything to do with you. I mean, if someone's worshiping a Christian religion, why should it bother you? If you don't believe, you don't believe. Just don't attend.
Does that ring a bell, Carl?
No, it doesn't ring a bell. I think that you would allow... I think that's a terribly hurtful thing for that man to say to me.
All right. I thank you for... All right, Will, I got to go. Thank you, Will, for your call, though. I appreciate it very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Carl Bodden. What happened to... Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I think something just stopped all of a sudden.
Yes, my mind.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. As we continue on here, we have with us Carl Bodden from Proud Atheists of America. The name of your organization, I just wanted to reiterate for people who may have just joined us, Carl, it's an homage or a testament to your patriotism. Is that a fair enough assessment?
I think it is. I don't think any of us would consider ourselves arch patriot, as in flag waving or daughters of the American Revolution, but we did want to stress in the founding charter of our organization that there is nothing anti-American about being an atheist. There's nothing, in other words, counter-American to it. I am a father, and I enjoy the same things that many Americans enjoy, including my citizenship and whatever industry I can lend to furthering this great country. So that's not an issue at all. The issue is simply the patience, I think, that many atheists have had, most atheists, I would say, have had, with the believing religious community, however you want to put it. And this patience has not, I don't think, been rewarded. I think it's been abused. And this year, we find not only do we have a Sunday that we have to endure, each of us in our own solitary way, each of us disconnected from the other on a Sunday, because it is a day off, and so therefore we're not working and we're not much in communication, and some of us are married to women who believe in God. But then we also have to deal with it being Christmas, so it becomes almost unendurable. And it reminds one of the final words of the Emperor of Japan when the atomic bomb was dropped on the people of Japan, and he said, "It is time for us to endure the unendurable." I don't know that I've got it in me. I drew a line in the sand. I don't mind Sunday, but now they want to throw Christmas into my face as if it's garbage.
So you're extremely offended.
I wouldn't say extremely.
Well, when you say that Christmas is being thrown into your face like garbage, you feel taken advantage of.
Well, most assuredly, yes. Most assuredly, yes.
Do you feel that there should have been some move made to move Christmas away from this Sunday so it wouldn't fall on a Sunday?
I think there should have been some consideration. There had been communications back and forth with a number of the religious leaders of this country. And
who had you been in touch with?
Oh, I'd been in touch with the Cardinal Mahoney in Los Angeles Diocese, one or two of the other synods, a couple of the Pentecostal leaders that I'm familiar with. But no one would even answer our letters. They see atheists, and of course they think that there's it's sort of a satanic thing, which is, of course, ridiculous.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. Going to Andrew on the phone this evening. Andrew, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Carl Bodden. Go ahead, please.
Oh, how y'all doing?
Yes, sir, good.
Hello.
Is Carl the atheist?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Carl, my name's Andrew. I've been an atheist for quite a few years now, but I've got to ask you, man, do you feel persecuted by Christians?
I don't know. As a rule, no. That's why this is such an unusual and shocking development.
Well, man, I can't really look at it the same way. I mean, Christmas falls on the 25th, and
of course,
happens that Sunday does, and a lot of atheists do feel persecuted, but it's because of people that want things like Christmas changed to another day to make them happy. I mean, you know,
well,
even though
don't
I'm
you
an
think
atheist,
that is Don't you think that that's almost like waving a swastika in a Jew's face to say that?
Boy, I got a problem with that.
Well, I'm asking this gentleman here.
The swastika has not always been there. This has. You know, and this is a country that was founded on Christianity. And, you know, there may be a separation of church and state, but you're always going to have that religion.
Well, I don't think that's... Are you sure you're an atheist? You don't sound like one.
Oh, I am, Bob, but I'm not proud to be an atheist. I miss the comfort I had when I was a Christian. When, you know, the comfort of knowing, you know, what happens when you die and you'll be reunited.
You mean the comfort of being deluded? The comfort of being not very intelligent? I don't know what comfort there is there. You know,
sometimes it is more comfortable to be deluded.
Well, of course, the old saying, ignorance is bliss, I know what you mean. But I think that, quite frankly, this country, while it is true that thou shalt not kill, also conforms to the laws against murder, for instance. Those laws did not come about necessarily because of religion. They came about as a result of man's experience. The killing was contrary to the building of a good society.
All right, look, I don't want to debate the whole religious foundation of America. I mean, I think we're all agreed here that that people have the right to believe what they want to believe. Neither one of you gentlemen seem to be opposed to Christians celebrating Christmas.
No, of course not.
Okay. So the problem you're having here...
Well, and I resent you saying it's my problem. I'm trying to tell atheists it's everybody's problem.
All I'm saying here, Carl, is the problem seems to be that there are... on Sunday... It's not just Sunday anymore. It's Sunday and Christmas.
Exactly. And to me, as an atheist, that is the same as being told to go out and break big boulders into little boulders for no reason. In other words, it is a torturous experience that I'm being put through for no reason.
Well, there's a reason. You're putting it like there's torture going on.
Well,
here's a gentleman who's an atheist who's no torture, but I'm saying there's a reason for Christmas. Now, if you were taken out to a rock quarry and told to bust rocks, I wonder what purpose that would be serving other than your own torture. You see what I'm saying? But with Christmas, there is another purpose. Christians are celebrating.
Christians are celebrating, and atheists are being told to get off the pavement and walk in the gutter. And this may be something that Andrew is okay with, but not I. No, sir, not I.
All right, Andrew, thank you for your call. Yeah?
Well, gentleman sounds tongue-tied. I don't blame him.
Andrew, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. What do you mean tongue-tied? I mean, I think what you said was shocking enough.
What was shocking about it?
That atheists are told to get off the pavement and walk in the gutter on Sunday.
Are you? I'm going to reiterate. It's Sunday and Christmas. There's two things happening. That's what I'm trying to say.
I know that, and you have yet to make the case, I don't think for me anyway, that this is onerous or torturous or anything of the sort. Here is Manny on the Phil Henry Show. Manny, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you have no case whatsoever. I mean, turn your cheek, man. I mean, come on. If an atheist tries to...
They did away with Christmas. I don't know. Are you a Christian?
I am a Christian, and I'm glad.
All right.
That.
If we did away with Christmas, would you turn the other cheek?
I'm sorry. How many people are in your membership?
No, you didn't say that. You didn't say that. You said turn the other cheek. You used the biblical. You quoted the Bible, so you should stick with the Bible.
How many?
So you're not relying on your Bible anymore. Very good.
Nice.
I've gotten you off.
How many
Bible.
People
all
celebrate
right.
Christmas that are not Christians? That aren't Christians.
I won't answer that until you answer my question.
I have family members that are not Christians that celebrate Christmas who...
No, they don't. They give each other gifts. They don't celebrate
don't
Christmas.
Have an issue
they
with
give you. Each other presents.
They don't believe in God. They don't believe in God at all. Are they atheists? I wouldn't say that they're atheists. It doesn't mean that they're atheists.
If they don't believe in God, then, you know, the minute you started talking, I didn't like you. And I'll tell you why.
You shouldn't.
I think that... But you are not a Christian if you are...
That's not a very good thing to say.
Well, I don't like him. And I don't believe he's got... I don't think you have family members. I think you live in a...
I do have family members. I mean, where are you getting your facts out?
I want to ask you a question. You told me to turn my cheek. I'm turning my cheek. I let you have Christmas. I let you have Sunday. I let you have Easter. I let you have
cheek by not letting you affect a day that is celebrated by many people other than just Christians.
What?
And
Christmas.
You have nothing. Christmas.
I don't have a problem with Christmas. I've got a problem with Christmas being on Sunday.
Still celebrate Christmas.
All right, let me ask you. I got to ask the caller a question, Manny. Do you know that he's against? He's not against Christmas. He's against it being on Sunday. You know that, right?
Yeah,
he doesn't know that.
And he understands that. He just said he did.
What's the?
Well, it sounds like he does.
Do you know what the date of Christmas is? The 25th, right? It falls on that every year.
It falls on the last Sunday in December. No, it falls on the last Sunday in December.
Is this the first time?
No, it does not.
Christmas
falls
is celebrated on a Sunday. It falls on the last Sunday in December,
and I'm saying that.
You know what? No, it doesn't fall on the last Sunday in December.
Every Sunday, it seems like it's on a Sunday every year. I don't know the date.
Are you kidding me? It's not on Sunday every year.
Do you know the date of Christmas, Carl?
No, my assumption was it was the last Sunday of every December.
Well, no, then if it's the last Sunday of every December.
Every year, it's the same date.
All right,
Next year, as a Christian, I'll let you know right now that Christmas isn't going to fall on a Sunday, just for you.
If it falls on a Sunday, then we've got a problem. You and I are going to have a problem.
Okay, how is that possible?
Millions
of people celebrate Christmas.
You've told me that already, and I understand that.
So
I understand that. That's got nothing to do with anything.
In Christianity,
as an atheist, I don't mind Christmas, and I don't mind Sunday, but I do mind you people jamming it all up my
ass. So every year that
one time.
Every year that it falls on a Sunday, are you going to have an issue like this? I mean, what do you plan on doing?
Yes.
What
do you think I'm doing right now? I'm trying to make sense out of you. I'm trying to tell people what I believe and at the same time field questions such as yours.
Let me know
I'm
right
trying
now.
To
who
talk to you.
Talk to you.
And I'm trying to talk to you and interpret it out of Swahili into English and at the same time tell...
All right, you don't have to be offensive like that, Carl.
Well,
you know, people are calling in. We've given you time on the radio show. People are calling in to ask you questions and to ask you to defend your point of view. And I think it's only fair. And you don't have to be contemptuous or insulting. I think you've been very good about it up to this point.
Well, the gentleman is... He quoted the Bible.
Can I ask you one question?
He quoted the Bible, and then he decided he didn't want to quote the Bible anymore. I don't think he reads the Bible.
Can I ask you one question without you interrupting me or saying anything?
My name isn't Carl. It's not Carl. It's Carl.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carl. My Latino background doesn't allow me to pronounce things correctly. I'm sorry. Hey, can I ask you one question without you?
So now you're a racist.
I'm not racist. I told you that I'm Latino and I don't always pronounce everything perfect. Is that being racist?
Well,
okay, ask your question and we got to move on. What is the question?
Okay, the question is, Carl, who are you going to call that can change the day of Christmas? The date. I'm not saying the day. I'm saying the date. Who can you call that will change the day of Christmas?
You simply I'm answering your question. You simply begin a cultural impetus so that people do not celebrate it on the 25th.
All right. With that, we have to take a break. Thank you very much, Manny, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. How do you start a cultural impetus?
Well, you begin to go on. You know, I'm losing my voice because I've been talking to people who I question whether or not they are Christian or atheist. I think there's something happening here. I don't know what it is. I do know that we have a great many organizations of agnostics and atheists who are opposed to the work that we're doing. They don't like us working with people in a peaceful and unified way. I believe you are getting phone calls, and you are putting them through here, Phil, from atheists and agnostics who are in some instances masquerading as Christians and are attempting to throw me off my game, are attempting to use the reverse psychology and psychological, you know.
Okay, hold on, all right?
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL. He sounds like he's getting bent out of shape. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Carl Botten as we talk about the patriotic Patriotic Atheists of America, I think is the name of the group. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry
Truth
Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here. And world-famous Phil Hendry Show presenting our Christmas Carol at midnight, the Phil Hendry Christmas Carol, our third. It's not third annual, it's our third. It would be the second annual if we were being technically, you know.
Okay.
Never mind. I don't want to explain it. We'll just call it third. Our third Christmas Carol coming up at midnight tonight. With me is Carl Botten as we discuss... I guess this is to be expected on two nights before Christmas. Mr. Botten is an atheist. He is with a group called, and forgive me, I called it Patriotic. It's Proud.
Well, I had told you the name of the group a number of times, and I also told you, Mr. Hendry, that it is our intention to be non-confrontational. It's our intention to work with people. But what I've received on your program this evening has been, I think, very insulting behavior, and you for not even to remember the name of our organization. It's not Patriotic Atheists, because I think that sounds presumptuous, it sounds inflated, it sounds, there aren't enough negatives I could put on that. We're called Proud Atheists of America, and we are atheists, and we are proud. And all we're asking is for people to open their eyes and look at Christmas falling on a Sunday, and they will very clearly see that this is like a religious gluttony. It's as if the Christians of America have decided, I want to sit and I want to eat and I want to feast on my religion and I want to gluttonize, you understand? Gluttonize the experience of religion so that I sit at the end of a Sunday and a Christmas, I sit gluttoned and inflated and swollen in the eyes of man. And I don't think that's the way to be.
Well, you certainly have a way of putting things in a very disgusting way, I'll tell you.
Well, I don't know.
No, but I mean in a way that is very descriptive and disgusting. Let me get very quickly to Zachariah on the Phil Hendry Show. Hold on for just a second there, Paul. Zachariah, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Carl Botten.
Hi, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I was actually... I know that as myself... being an agnostic, I simply keep my mind open, and it does seem a little closed-minded for me, for anybody, whether atheist or religious, to say that they know exactly what's going to happen. But I guess my point would be every religious sect, and apparently even atheist sects, there are extremists, and it just feels like maybe you're a part of that, possibly.
Well, I don't think I am. I think that I stand for things that must be stood for. I'm not against Sunday. I'm not against church. I'm not against Christmas. I'm not against Easter. I'm not against religious orders. I'm not even against In God We Trust on our money. What I'm against is the gluttony. The gluttony.
Okay, well...
What do you mean the gluttony? What does that mean, the gluttony?
I told you, not just a Sunday, but now they want to pile on with Christmas. How much more are they going to want to jam into a Sunday?
Well, that's capitalism. That's capitalism itself. I wouldn't say that has to do with
religion. Why don't they have
itself.
Easter? Well, how about this? Why don't they have Easter and Christmas and a Sunday and...
Because
well, the gentleman just said...
why they're celebrating those dates. It has nothing to do with trying to cram stuff down your throat. I guess you could say you're taking it a little too personal, I think.
I think I'm taking it the way an atheist should take it.
Well, no. How does it affect your daily
life? As a hate crime.
How does it affect your daily life?
First of all, it causes searing emotional pain when I have to drive down the street and look at all that it is.
Well, something must have happened to make you hate.
Here's Sunday. Something. Here's Christmas. Here's Santa Claus. Here are all the asinine and retarded artifacts and symbols of that day. And it's all jammed right up there. And you can laugh if you want. I can hear you laughing, and that's fine, Zachariah.
But no, it's like just your verbiage. Everything is getting crammed up your whatever. So, I mean, all I'm saying
is the clearest possible way that I can put it. It's the clearest possible way I can put it. It's like taking a softball bat. Here, I'll make it real clear. Taking a softball bat, the fat end.
Well, that's not necessary, I don't think.
No, it's not. It's not very intelligent either. I got to take another phone call. I appreciate you calling there, Zachariah. 877-876. Phil, here is Gina. Hi, Gina. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Carl Budden.
Hi, Carl. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. I was better, but I'm doing better.
Okay. Well, you know, I just can you tell me what your background is as far as education?
I was educated through my sophomore year in high school, at which time I left, went to Hollywood to attempt a modeling career. Left Hollywood when I was 21, and I came home and I began working. Quite frankly, I was relegated as a member of the underclass to working fast food restaurants, this kind of nonsense. And then I eventually got a job working for an older man who was quite wealthy and who has an estate in Santa Barbara. So I do most of his personal errands and this kind of thing.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was wondering, because you just sound like you apparently don't have a big formal education, but you are very well spoken.
Yeah. Tell you what, Gina, hold on. Gina, we're going to talk to you on the other side. You hang on. You'll be first up. We have to take a news break. We'll be back with Gina and with Carl Bodden, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Christmas is falling on a Sunday. Is that too much? Too much Christianity? We'll
Phil
be back.
Henry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Why am I rushing? Why am I racing? Well, an awful lot going on here tonight. We have Carl Bodden, who is going to stay on for another hour with us. Carl is with Proud Atheists of America, an organization that he describes as a non-confrontational organization of atheists and agnostics who are willing to work with other Americans in seeing that religious freedom and freedom of thought are maintained in this country. He doesn't want to get rid of religion. He doesn't want to get rid of Christmas. He would like, however, for his rights to be respected. And Carl has said on occasion in our broadcast tonight that the piling on, as he calls it, of a Sunday now also being a Christmas day, he says, is intolerable to atheists, is an affront, is, quote, excruciating, and has used other terminology that, quite frankly, others have found offensive. And I know that you use those terms, Carl, with absolute forethought.
Well, the only way you're going to get people's attention, Phil, I think, is when you put things in as clear and as stark terms as you can. And
well, you use the term the fat end of a softball bat, and
as I said, I think the way to get people's attention is to use terms that put it in full relief. And I do believe that that is what's happened to atheists like myself, who have spent a good part of their lives trying to work with other Americans and saying, yes, I understand that you have religious rights. I don't want to trot on those at all. So why do you take my freedom of thought and laugh at it? And it's almost as if I'm a man standing on a street corner and the religionists of America drive by and hit the proverbial mud puddle and laugh as they spew and spray a brand new suit I'm wearing with mud and fecal matter.
Well, okay, all right, I get it. And you, like, again, you're putting it in these stark terms that some people have found offensive. Let's go back to Gina. She's been hanging on with us through the news. Okay, Gina, go ahead.
I don't mean to put them in stark terms, but it's the only way to get hurt.
Fine. Gina, go ahead.
Okay. Hi. Yes, Carl, I'm back. And like I said, I was just questioning your educational background. The main reason is because I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but, like, if my birthday is on Monday this year, in 7 more years, it will fall on Monday again, just as Christmas does, since it is on the 25th of December. And I find it hard to believe that someone would come on and rant, as you have, and not have your facts straight. You didn't even know that Christmas is on December 25th. You thought it was the last.
I do know that.
You knew it when one of your when another caller pointed it out to you. You were saying that it falls on the last Sunday of every month, and the last Sunday of December of every year.
Yes,
and you
that's
were
right.
incorrect. No, it does not. But it does not.
Well, first of all, can I say, Gina?
What I'd like to say is that for somebody that's going to get on the radio and speak this way, you know what? Everybody has a right to talk, but at least have your facts straight. Goodness gracious!
I do have my facts.
You did not have them. You did not have them straight.
You told me about your birthday. I don't. What was your birthday have to do with it? Now, that's all I'm asking.
I'm explaining the way time works, and if my birthday is on a Monday, in 7 more years, it'll be on Monday again because time changes it. Each year, it adds a day.
I don't think we need to be condescending.
It'll be on the third year, on a Wednesday.
I don't think we need to be condescending. You don't have to explain to me how time works.
Well, apparently you don't know how it works because you thought that Christmas fell on Sunday every single year. It's not.
The fourth Sunday, I've been told. First of all, I'm not a Christian, so... Forgive me if I don't have the date.
Okay, but that's okay that you're not a Christian. Nobody's asking you to be a Christian. What I'm asking you to do is to be educated when you get on national radio show and talk. If you're going to talk about something, know what you're talking about. My goodness gracious.
Gina, I have to disagree. Yes, people are asking me to be a Christian. They can't stop asking me to be a Christian.
We're not asking you to be a Christian, Carl. But I'm asking you to be educated when you go on a national news program and have your facts straight.
Christmas falls on the last Sunday of every December, which happens to be the 25th.
No, it does not. You're getting that wrong.
Why don't you get a calendar out from 2010 and you'll see that Christmas fell on Saturday last year, and the previous year it fell on a Friday. Hello.
May I ask a question?
How does that make my argument
that it is piling on and abusive to make Christmas and Sunday be on the same day? How does that change my argument?
Because it only happens once every seven years, and you're offended once every 7 years, but you're not offended by Easter. Hello? And that is always on the same Sunday every year.
It's always been on the Sunday. We've been able to prepare for it, and we've been able to deal with it and endure it.
You can't take 7 years to prepare that it's going to be, Christmas is going to be on Sunday once every 7 years?
Forgive me, I can't take your word. I cannot take your word for that.
I'm sorry, but you really are uneducated, and you really are dumb to be on a show, and you do not know when Christmas is, knowing that it's on the 25th of December, and it will never be on Sunday every single year. Oh, my gosh.
I think it's interesting, Phil. I need to point this out. I've been called names. I have been insulted. I haven't insulted one person. Who have I called a name? Who have I called someone a name? I've never said it.
You called one caller a racist just because he said he was Latino.
Well, that's not a name. That's a description of the man because he said he couldn't say R's right because he was a Mexican. And I said
he did not say he was Mexican. He said he was Latino, of Latino descent.
I heard him say he was a, and he used a few choice words before it, Mexican.
No, I agree with Gina.
There's a newsflash, Bill.
You are agreeing with every caller that calls in.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to be fair here, Carl.
Gina's right. Get out a calendar and look. Go back. Get on your computer and look.
Gina, the next thing you're going to ask me, and why don't you get a watch, Carl, and the big hand and the little hand? Is that what I'm worth to people? I'm an idiot, right? I admit I didn't finish high school.
Carl.
I've done well for myself.
Well, you know what? I have too, and I didn't finish. I finished high school, but I didn't go to college, but that doesn't mean that I don't know how to read a calendar.
I know how to read a calendar, madam. I think that's very insulting.
Why do you say that Christmas falls on the last Sunday of every December?
What is the holiday that falls on the last Sunday? Isn't it Thanksgiving or Christmas?
Thanksgiving falls on the last Thursday.
On the every November. Yes, it does.
Lincoln changed it.
Well, whether Lincoln changed it or FDR, I think, is the one who changed it. I don't know. But that's got nothing to do with Christmas. And what we're talking about here is Christmas.
Well, I think Gina called, like many Christians, to insult me, to say, hey, here's one thing I do know, when Christmas falls. But I...
No, my point, Carl, my point is that for you to get on a nationally broadcast show and to make this kind of argument, it's asinine for you to say you're throwing it in my face every year, the fourth Sunday in December, because guess what? Christmas doesn't fall on the fourth Sunday every year in December.
Well, it falls on a Sunday. Maybe I should have said that.
Doesn't.
It falls on a Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. It does not fall on Sunday.
As I said to the other gentleman, it's a fat end of a softball bat.
You know what?
Do you play softball? I bet you do.
I feel sorry for you.
Yeah. Gina, thank you very much for your call. Appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What did that comment mean?
Well, I think, Phil, I have listened, and I have tried to be as... I've tried to work with people. I really have.
But the softball bat, do you play softball? I bet you do.
I have been...
So in other words, you're beginning to throw it back. You're beginning to give people a little bit of a hard time. You're beginning to insult people.
Why is that an insult? Why is it an insult for me to say that Gina plays softball? Maybe she does. Maybe she plays on a fast pitch team.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the Phil Hendry Show here. We are talking with Carl Bodden, who is with the Proud Atheists of America. Christmas this year is falling on a Sunday, and in the minds of the Proud Atheists of America, that's a little bit much. It's one thing to have Christmas and have Sundays, but for them to be on the same day is what they call piling on, loading up, religious gluttony. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we're back here with Carl Bodden, who is with the Proud Atheists of America. And I apologize again for calling it patriotic. I know that that was a misstatement on my part.
We're an organization that's trying to get our name out. I understand, Phil, that those things are going to happen. It's a little bit, it's difficult, though, when we're on a program like this where we're really fighting for our existence, you know, fighting for our lives, and doing what we can to clarify this nonsense about when does Christmas happen? It's happening on Sunday, and
but what about that comment that Easter does too?
Easter's always fallen on a Sunday. Now all of a sudden they want Christmas to fall on a Sunday. That's what we find to be, frankly, despicable. I also think that with UCLA, the basketball team, having a perfectly good facility to play in, Pauley Pavilion, on the campus of UCLA, for them to, you know, for them to sort of invade the sports arena where we were supposed to have a PPA convention was going to happen this evening, was actually going to happen this weekend, and we were told you can't have that because we have a UCLA basketball game there. And
you're talking about the sports arena in downtown Los Angeles.
That is correct, yes. And I said, well, what is UCLA doing there? They said they're having a basketball game. I said, I thought they had Pauley Pavilion on the campus of UCLA. And I get this shrug and this look like, what do you want from me? I cannot believe that we are having a crisis, really, of faith and freedom of choice and religion. And UCLA is running around like children inside the sports arena as you and I are speaking. And Pauley Pavilion is a perfectly good...
All right, well, if you want to get into a whole thing about why you couldn't have your convention...
No, I don't want to get into a whole thing, as you put it, Phil. I'm simply pointing out that we wanted to have a very important convention of our delegates at the sports arena in Los Angeles, and UCLA decided, oh, we don't want to use Pauley Pavilion tonight. We think we'll use the sports arena because we just want to join in with the rest of America and take... and you don't like me using the term, but I'm going to use it, the fat end of a softball bat to the atheists of America And
so this is a personal attack on you by UCLA? That's the part that I find unbelievable.
No, I don't necessarily believe that, but I don't think that UCLA is completely in the dark about what we had in mind, and I think they decided that they would schedule this game against Richmond for this evening at the sports arena.
I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I don't know how UCLA rotates its games between the sports arena and Pauley Pavilion. I cannot believe that they decided to have a ball game there tonight just to screw you guys up. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Edward. Hello, Edward. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Carl Budden.
Hi. How are you today?
Good, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. I've been listening for almost 200 miles now. And I respected him at first. I was listening to his discussion or argument, as whoever wants to call it. But Gina kind of took the words out of my mouth, because what prompted me to call was his ignorance of the calendar, not with insulting him that he doesn't know how it works, but if he's going to come on a TV, on a radio station, he needs to have the knowledge of what he's arguing. And beside the fact of what he is non-religion is and what he thinks, I mean, my son in elementary school knows that every year they have a different day off for Christmas. Every year it changes with the calendar, just the same way as your birthday doesn't fall on. If you were born on a Tuesday, your birthday's not always on a Tuesday.
Wait, sir. I was born on July 16th. All right. I was born July 16th in 1962. Now, every July 16th, I have a birthday.
That's right.
So I don't know what you're...
Absolutely. But not every July 16th, it falls on the same day. Just
it doesn't fall on a Sunday, no. It does not fall on a Sunday.
And you are putting words in my mouth like you did everyone else. I never said Sunday. Just like that other gentleman never said Mexican. Okay, and he didn't even say, I can't pronounce my R's. He says, I can't pronounce some words properly. So, and if you argue that fact, maybe you should just get off the air and listen to a tape of the show so you can realize how incorrect you are and how abusive you've been to the people who are trying to talk to you. And,
abusive is the right word. I think it's quite the opposite.
I think you've been extremely abusive to the people who are trying to logically just explain to you. Nobody's yelled and called you names or a racist. You don't call it. You don't call it a name. You call it a description. Okay, fine.
You said that lady plays fast pitch softball. Okay, you know what you were saying.
Okay.
Oh, give me a break.
You said... Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
And you also called the guy who said that he was Latino and he has a problem pronunciating words. You called him a racist. He didn't mention anything about your...
He was a racist by saying that he was too dumb to be able to talk English. That's basically what he was saying.
He was making an excuse for the problem that you couldn't understand every word the way he pronounced it. He was just saying, I'm sorry, but I have problems pronunciation.
What does this have to do with the fact that we are trying to be tolerant with Christians and we're just asking, why do they have Christmas on a Sunday?
Because that had nothing to do with being Christian. We were talking about the fact that you've been insulted to people and that you are not treating the conversation seriously because you will not take any knowledge of the fact that Christmas falls on the same day, not the same day of the week. That would be...
I have to tell you that I resent you saying I'm not taking you seriously. If I don't understand you, or I don't agree with you, or there are any number of other reasons why you and I may not be seeing eye to eye, it doesn't mean that I take the conversation at less than serious. Do you think that when I said that Gina is on the fast pitch softball team, did you think I was insulting her?
You just basically...
Yes, because you obviously had some meaning behind that statement. Why would I? That would be like me saying that I think you
say monkey shines?
No, moonshine. Moonshine.
I mean, you, first of all, you need you don't hear what people are saying to you, and you are then misquoting them, so that in itself is an insult to the people, because you are then turning the conversation into an argument by misquoting them. And you have done that numerous times in the last 200 miles that I've been listening.
All I know is I said that I don't know why they have to schedule it for a Sunday. Can't they move it? I don't see why that is.
Christmas isn't scheduled ever. It's on the 25th. And the 25th
falls sounds like a schedule to me.
It falls on a different day every year, just like your birthday would fall on a different day every year, just like my birthday does, and just like my son's birthday does.
So you claim.
Is it?
But,
so I claim? So I claim?
Yes,
are you denying, Mr. Botton, are you denying that your birthday falls on a different day?
I am. I'm telling you my birthday falls on the 16th.
Okay.
Not the day of the calendar. The day of the week.
I can't do anything about my birthday. Christians can move Christmas so that it is not, I'll say it again, the fat end of a baseball bat.
Okay, we don't need any kind of language.
All right.
We don't need any fat end of the baseball bat. We don't need any visuals of what your backside looks like or where that baseball bat is going. What we are trying to say
without
insulting your intelligence, we're not saying, all we're saying is you need to check a calendar because Christmas does not fall on Sunday every year.
Exactly. I gotta run. I appreciate your call, though. A good call, Edward, but we do have to come up against the break here. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, I have to say, I don't think, if you think that people saying to me, you don't know how to read a calendar isn't insulting, and I have had to put...
That, I'm telling you that that's what they're saying has basis in the need to say it. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Crap.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, I apologize. Like, that last segment was not on the audio feed to our video cast. I apologize. That's entirely my fault. And last night we had the same damn problem, and all I can tell you is I'm doing the best I can, but definitely that was my screw-up. My apologies, guys. Maybe I can hire somebody to stand here and just stare at those inputs and make sure, okay, that one's red, that one's red. Ah, that one's, you know, Phil. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Carl Botton with us for another segment here as we talk about Christmas is falling on a Sunday. And, Carl, maybe we can get back to originally what you called and what the purpose of this whole interview was about.
And remember, Phil, I didn't call you. You called me. You wanted to talk to me.
Well, no. You contacted our office.
I did contact your office, but I was told by the producer that you would position it on your show as if you called me, I didn't call you, so that we would not sound, our organization wouldn't sound desperate. Did you remember having that conversation?
I did not have that conversation. If Bud Dickman had that conversation with you, then I imagine that he had that conversation.
Well, the point I make, so in other words, without your knowledge.
I didn't hear about that.
Well, what has happened tonight is you've said that I called you, so we sound desperate. That woman tricked me into telling you that I work as a personal assistant for a wealthy homosexual.
No, she never tricked you into saying anything, and I never heard you say homosexual till just now. And what's wrong with that?
Well, it sounds as if I'm being kept. And my third point that I think needs to be stated again is that whether or not Christmas falls on a Sunday every year or not is beside the point. The fact is the Christian church has found a way, either by manipulating the calendar or the intelligence of its adherents or any other number of ways they can do it, God knows they have the influence, to have Christmas fall on a Sunday and thus create this religious gluttony that we're talking about. And all we're asking is that they reschedule it if it should happen again. This year, we will have to endure. That's what we've done for thousands of years as atheists. We endure. We sit there and we bite a towel. And
boy, I've heard you talking about baseball bats, biting towels. I've heard you talking about any number of things that invoke a lot of pain, and I don't quite get if it's that bad. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Aaron on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, and I'd like to talk about, go back to the original issue you're talking about, being tolerant and, you know, and cramming down your throat. First off, buddy, this nation was founded on God. And talk about tolerant. The atheist belief has got the belief of God and everything out of schools, out of our government. And as you can see, the facts show that since they've done that, where's our nation at now? Since that has happened.
You're wrong. I think that the federal government still has prayer in the sessions of Congress. We still have In God We Trust on our money. We still have it in our public buildings. The President of the United States still prays during his inaugural speech. We invoke God in the Congress
lawsuits.
Every day.
I've seen lawsuits in the news because they are bringing it in schools.
Well, there may be lawsuits. There might be lawsuits, but you have to win a lawsuit, and we still have the invocation of God in our government. You have to be educated.
You talk about.
I didn't even graduate from high school, and I know that.
Did you graduate from high school? Yes, I did. I didn't.
And I know something that you don't know.
Obviously.
You don't know what you're talking about, and I do. What does that say?
Oh, how's that?
Okay, whatever.
But we're not going to touch that. But first, you talk about tolerance, okay? You know, first off, you know what our nation's found on. If you don't like it, go to a country.
You started off with a whole series of comments that are wrong.
Who has the Muslim belief, and if you don't believe in them, they'll kill you. You haven't heard of being tolerant.
Wrong.
You haven't lived
wrong.
There, buddy. This nation is very tolerant. We take our God out of school. Our nation gets criticized for bringing God up, and we're very tolerant. I don't get where you're even making that statement. You have a freedom, and
because
nothing.
Of the fact. No, we don't. Wait. I don't have the freedom to go out on a Sunday and not hear about Jesus in a stable. Do you mind?
Who don't give you that freedom? What are you talking about, dude?
Who don't give you that freedom? Where did you learn English? Who don't give you that freedom? You mean who doesn't give me that freedom?
You said you actually got through high school.
You sound like a blithering nincompoop.
Hey, let's watch the calling people names, okay?
The man's a blithering nincompoop.
Oh, come on.
Dude, I'm just saying, who's holding you at gunpoint and said you can't go on Sunday? I get joked at for my belief in believing in God.
Every time I go out on a Sunday, there's you standing on a corner with your crucifix or your cross or whatever, and you're bugging me with it.
What are you talking about? How's he standing on a corner bugging you with his...
How'd I bug you? I don't even know you, dude.
Well, don't you stand around on a Sunday with a cross up in the air telling everybody they're going to rot in hell if they don't see, you know, if they don't go to Jesus? You do, don't you?
I get the same thing when I go to school and people joke me because I believe in God. So I don't get
what I'm saying is don't you do that. Don't you stand on a street corner bugging people. You do bug people. And every time I go to get a Starbucks, there's a guy standing there with a big cross.
I got atheists coming to me. You guys bug people, but I don't sit there and say you don't have the right or the freedom. And
atheists don't come to you. They only come to you because you're yapping about religion. That's the only reason why they...
You don't know nothing about I have a friend that's atheist.
Well, then, if he's your friend, then you invited him to come to you, if he's your friend.
No, we met. I didn't invite him. We just hung out, and we just kicked it off.
Oh, I see. So he's forced himself. He's forced himself on you.
Yeah, and I've never forced it myself on him. You're saying that we're forcing ourselves on you. But
yeah, that's what you said. You've got atheists coming to you.
There's no one holding you at gunpoint saying that you have to believe in our religion.
If you think it's that bad,
go to a Muslim.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, will you stop at the Muslims already? Let's just concentrate on America.
No, you're saying
every time I go to a Starbucks, you're standing there with a big cross telling me I'm going to cook. Now, what good is that?
No, he's not. Why are you saying this about him? And why you're talking about religious people that stand on the corner?
Yes.
Okay, and I see atheists out there doing that.
That is such a lie. That I don't even know where to begin.
Oh, my goodness.
We never do that.
Oh, bull crap.
Whatever.
Are you telling me that you've seen an atheist out there telling you that you're going to burn in hell?
No.
Thank you.
I'm not talking about that.
Thank you.
No, I got
I'm not talking.
Thank you.
That I'm stupid for what I believe in. You talk about cramming down someone's throat. Well,
I thought you told me that that was a. I thought you told me that was a friendship of choice, and he wasn't forced on you. Now you're telling me
it wasn't. It wasn't. And I didn't.
This is a friend of yours.
I
got people sticking stuff down my throat and up my, and I'm not allowed to say it.
And the thing is I believed and he didn't. I didn't force it down his throat. I respected his beliefs.
You guys are forcing something down each other's throats. It may not be your beliefs.
Okay, that's enough. You're telling people that they are insulting you. You turn around and insult them. You talk like a child.
How?
Sticking it up your you-know-what, down your throat, this, that. If it isn't about sticking it down your throat, it's up with a baseball bat.
If they're too,
religion,
listen, buddy. They're true religion.
If
they're true religion, we try to preach to someone. If they're not willing to accept the word, we understand that's the way their beliefs are.
Can I tell you what atheists basically feel about that? There you go.
Okay, you know what? I'm hanging up on you.
Don't you dare.
That's the end of him. But I do appreciate your call very much, Aaron.
Thank you.
Have a good evening, sir. Thank you very much.
Pretty rude.
Rude? And if that guy calls back, under no circumstances do I want to talk to him. Is that him?
Yeah.
Let me talk to him. All right.
What I was trying to say...
You went from being a guy that's non-confrontational and a guy that doesn't want to cause a problem to a guy that is insulting and belching and everything else. So I'm telling you that I will not have any more of it. Plus... somebody called earlier and said they worked with you as a model in L.A., and you don't want to know what it was they said you were modeling.
Well, if it had to do with dilators, he's right, because I can tell you that was...
Anyway,
what's that mean?
None of your business. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. So we're just minutes away from our midnight broadcast of the third Phil Henry Christmas Carol here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, again, my apologies. I think we only just dropped one segment on the audio, right, Robert?
Yeah, but just that one got called in, though.
I know, and people pay to see the video cast, but the good news is we will not have any audio screw-ups in our Christmas Carol. Do you see what I'm talking about, Bud?
Yeah, you want to put the chain rattler on the other one.
Exactly. If we're going to have sound effects, you got to have them in the right machine, you fool. Now, wait a second. Where are the footsteps? Where are the footsteps?
Well, the footsteps is supposed to be, you said, over in a right machine.
In the right machine. The right-hand machine. Where are they? This is going to be a bitch, man. I can see it right now. We're going to have ourselves a big problem, unless these footsteps are under something else, because I don't have any notion. But what we're doing here, folks, is we're putting together our sound effects. I mean, they were put together, but for some bloody reason now I can't seem to find them here in the machine. We'll find them, I guess. Maybe. If we don't, we don't. Anyway, that's coming up in just a few minutes. And I remember the guy that called in this past hour. He said 200 miles he's been listening to the show. That obviously made me believe and think, and rightfully so, that he's, in the car. And he's on his way to Grandma's house, not Grandma's house specifically, but he's on his way to a loved one's for Christmas. So if you guys are out driving, and I know there's probably a few of you on the road, would you please, be cool? And there's little things that you can do. I don't know if you are mindful of people in trucks. I don't want to tell you how to live, but I also would like to say that, truckers are hauling the freight of this country. They have an enormous rig that they're dealing with. It's a huge piece of equipment. And the professional driving truck drivers, the guys that do it for a living, they know what they're doing. but they need a little bit of help sometimes. And so out on the freeways, you may notice some people will pop their brights for a trucker. And basically, you might not know this. Do you know this, Bud?
Uh-uh.
You know that if you pop your brights, you're telling the guy there's enough room, you can move in. And they always appreciate that, and they'll always blink their running lights. Those are the running lights at the very top of the trailer. You see them blink it off and on. That's a thank you. They're saying thank you for letting us in. It's a, like I said, it's a big piece of equipment, and so that's a nice thing to do, especially if you're traveling in the slow lane and maybe you're at a, you've got a rig that you're hauling yourselves. You may have a trailer with your, I don't know, your mobile home. You might have some motorcycles. You might have another car. You might be doing something, going to the river or whatever for the holidays. And so you're over in the slow lane. So, you know, give those guys a break and, you know, open a lane up for them or something.
A lot of times people think truckers are bad drivers.
I would take my chance. People think truckers are bad drivers. Let me give you a newsflash. I would trust my life to a trucker before I would to anybody else on the highway.
Well, what are you talking about? I mean,
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it again, okay? I would trust my life to a truck rather than some jackass in a car any day of the week. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't. That guy's a professional, okay? That guy drives for a living. That guy is if he's union, he is the creme de la creme, okay? If he's a Teamster, he knows what the hell he's doing. I forgive me for saying this, but that just happens to be the facts. Some people got such a problem with unions that if you say a guy's union, what are you talking about? You know, I'm sorry, but a union truck driver, no way is that guy, he's the best. I'm not trusting my ass to some jackball that takes over driving a truck because they may be out on strike. Because I remember the last time that one of these grocery chains went out on strike here, it was happened to be around Thanksgiving, I remember. No sooner did the Teamsters go on strike than I see a truck in a ditch over here on the 101 because some clown, some store manager, who knows what, was driving it. I don't want to get into a thing about unions.
Yeah, we're going to get phone calls.
All I'm trying to tell you is that if you're out on the highways this weekend and you are you see a guy with a rig, you know, flash the brights, back up, give the guy a shot, help him get in. You can't imagine what kind of craziness it is. And there are people who are so stupid and so completely unconscious that it will even cost them their lives. I saw, to my horror, some jackass, and I say this with all due respect, but it's exactly what happened. Some guy in an SUV swing onto the 101 at the Lindero Canyon on-ramp, okay?
Yeah.
And he swung on there so fast, he came right, and the on-ramp was so short, he came right into a semi that was in that lane. He hit the semi, he rolled, the semi jackknifed, okay, and turned on its side. The guy's SUV rolls and bursts into flames right under the overpass. So what was happening was this. This SUV with two young men inside, both of whom, I think one got out and the other one died. This SUV is now engulfed in flames, and the flames are licking the underside of this overpass. And the truck, the semi, is on its side, jackknifed. The driver got out, was okay, and was calling his supervisor, was making the call, saying, there's a bad accident here, as other people had called 911. And there's one dead young man, a 19-year-old guy, local to the area that we were living in, Thousand Oaks, and another kid who was badly injured. And this truck driver who's going along in the slow lane, okay, with a huge rig, somebody not even conscious of this guy in that lane coming onto that freeway, boom, hit the guy, and now one dead guy. And, I mean, this truck burned, and it was the most ugly thing. Because the reason why I remember it was Christmas time. It was like 2 weeks before Christmas, and it was black smoke pouring into the air, and it was hot fire under this on-ramp, and I was driving over the on-ramp. I remember I was trying to get to the other side because that's where I lived, and I got halfway across this on-ramp, and I thought, what the hell am I doing?
Why?
Because the pavement must have been red hot. You know, I thought I was going to melt the tires off my car. But I made it across the other side, and I looked back, and this thing just kept on burning, man. Just kept right on burning. truck drivers don't have an easy time of it, so if you have an opportunity to give one of them a chance to get in and go on their merry way, do it, you know. And like I say, they will thank you, and everybody's happy. Okay.
Very, very important.
It is very important. All right, in other news here, before we go into our Christmas Carol Hour, President Barack Obama has started his delayed Christmas vacation in Hawaii after securing an agreement to extend payroll tax cuts into 2012. So he's going on a vacation. I don't begrudge him that. I didn't begrudge President Bush going on vacation, but a bunch of people wanted to make a big deal out of that, and now a bunch of people make a big deal out of Obama going on vacation. Whatever. Air Force One touchdown in Honolulu this evening. The president had planned to start his vacation December 17th, but delayed his departure amid a congressional stalemate. He's joining his wife, Michelle Obama, the first lady, and daughters, Malia and Sasha, who had been in Hawaii for about a week. Here's another thing that's going to probably turn into some kind of ignoramus argument. The U.S. Justice Department's decision rejecting South Carolina's voter ID law ignited outrage and celebration on opposite sides. Civil rights activists and Greenville native Jesse Jackson called it a fitting Christmas present, rejecting the demand of the state of South Carolina to show ID in order to vote. The people who support it say that it is required in order to ensure that the people who are voting are legal. Now, the arguments are once again, like any argument that is presented in a public debate, they're all ideologically skewed. So you and I, who may want to get educated on this topic, we're lost because we got jackasses on both sides turning this thing into already an ideological debate that they don't want to tell us what it's about. They just want to kick ass on each other, okay? So I want to know, number one, how does it deprive minorities? Demanding an ID, how does that hurt minorities? That's all I want to know. That's not a racist question. I want to know. That's number one, okay? Number two, if South Carolina has a history, and they do, of depriving minorities of their voting rights, by law, the federal government gets to step in and monitor that situation. By law. South Carolina brought that on themselves. So you see, I'm on both sides of this one. On the one hand, I don't see anything wrong with having an ID if you're going to vote. I don't understand how asking for an ID hurts seniors, minorities, or college students. I just don't understand that. Everybody either has a driver's license or some form of ID, a passport. It's asinine if you want to buy a house. But I realize voting is a right, so that's probably where the... But I don't see how it deprives minorities over others. On the other end of the stick, though, South Carolina's got some pair on them given the history of that state. So you're just going to have to let Uncle Sam sort of take a look at things, you know? Huh? All right.
Yeah, probably got everybody in mood now for Christmas, Carol.
Sorry, but I had to dump a little bit of straight news in there. All right, we'll be right back here with our Phil Henry Show Christmas Carol, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And now it's time for the third annual Phil Henry Christmas Carol. Starring Bud Dickman as Ebenezer Dickman. With Dave Oliva, Phil Henry, Margaret Gray, R.C. Collins, Robert Leonard, Herb Sewell, Rudy Canosa, Bobby Dooley, Gerald Fisher, Margaret Gray, Ted Bell, Pastor Rennick, Professor Clayton, Vernon Dozier, Steve Ozell, Justin McElroy, and Bobby Dooley again. Whew. Oh, it's cold. Oh, it's cold in this office, man. Boy, that Dickman can't even afford to give me a little bit of coal for Christmas. Just a little tiny bit of cold, man. Here it is, Christmas Eve. I'm freezing my ass off in this place. Woo! Baby, baby, baby. Let me go over and see who that is. Yes, come on in. Hey! Well, what do you know? It's Dave. Dave Oliva. It's Ebenezer Dickman's. It's his nephew.
Hey, man, how you doing? That, you got to get some more for that door, man.
I know. Things been a little bit squeaky, just like everything else around here.
How you been, man? I just wanted to come by, you know, and I wanted to say a very Merry Christmas to you. And, you know, like a Happy New Year to my Uncle Dickman, too. Is he around?
Yeah, he's out. Probably be back in a minute or so. I don't know what he was doing. Probably going out and
counting money or something, you know.
Yeah, he's always about the money, you know. Say, when are you going to have yourself a Christmas time? You going to have some Christmas time tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to go home with my family, you know, and celebrate, you know, the Mrs. Cratchit and the kids.
How's that little Tiny Tim, you know? Is he coming along okay?
Poor Tiny Tim.
Oh, yeah, he's still walking around. He's got that bum leg, you know?
Yeah, he does. He's got that, I guess they call it a club foot or something.
What does that mean, club foot?
I don't know.
Does it look like a club?
Sort of looks like a club, yeah.
Can you use it like a croquet mallet or...
It's not funny, man.
Hey, you know what, man? I don't mean no offense, you know? I just want to say it's Christmas time, you know? I'm having a good time. I make fun of people, you know? I make fun of cripples. But it's all in good fun, you know?
I understand it.
Why don't you open up the door? It's freezing my ass out here and everything like that. God, come on. Whoa, it's cold.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dickman. I was just talking to your nephew here. Dave has stopped by.
Dave, what are you doing here, you lazy, good-for-nothing slob and everything? You don't do anything.
Hey, listen, man, I just wanted to say a very Merry Christmas to you, Uncle Dickman. You know, you've always been a very close, good uncle to me, and I just love you and everything.
What could call me man and all that? Give me all that, you know, homeboy stuff. I want you to get a job, get a decent job. I bet you're going to get married, ain't you? Going to marry that girl, Julie, or what's her name?
Yeah, I'm going to marry her. She's a beautiful girl. You know, I love her and everything. And one of these days, I get the auto detailing shop going, we're going to have a child. And maybe we'll move out of her mom's house.
Yeah, move out of her mom's house. You're just nothing but a bum. That's all it is.
Well, I just want to say a Merry Christmas to you, Uncle Dickman.
Merry Christmas. That's the biggest load I ever heard. You ain't making no money. And Christmas ain't putting no money in your pocket, neither.
You know something, Uncle? That's the whole thing about you. You think that Christmas is supposed to put money in your pocket. Even though Christmas not put one dime in my pocket, not one nickel in my pocket, I say God bless it.
Hey! The hell you doing?
Sorry, I just...
Get back to your work, and don't you put no more coal in there, either. I bet you think you want to warm up because you're cold and everything.
Sorta.
With all that fat around your gut, you can never get cold. Ha, 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 ha.
It's not funny, Uncle.
Tell me it's funny. Are you having a party tonight?
Yeah, I'm having a party. I usually have my Christmas party every Christmas Eve.
Forgot what is Christmas?
I don't know it's Christmas, but, you know, I have a party every night at my place. But tonight I'm going to have a very special party. I came by to invite you to the party, too. I hope you're coming.
I wouldn't come to no party at your house. What I look like, okay? And another thing, too. If I bring somebody, your party's going to be immigration. You know that for sure.
Boy, one joke a year, man. It almost kills you.
What?
Nothing.
Well, Uncle, I just want to say a Merry Christmas to you.
Get out of here, bah humbug, you slob. Get out. Go on, get out. And don't let the door hit you on the ass on your way out of this place, either. Get out, I said. Get out! Please leave. Please, God! Whew.
Like I said, maybe you want to oil the door.
Yeah, I got a great idea. Why don't you oil it here?
Oh. Say, listen, Mr. Dickman, I was wondering,
Come on, put some oil in that thing.
I was wondering, Mr. Dickman, if I could maybe have,
Did you get the WD-40 or not?
Yeah, I do.
Here, try this.
What is it?
Wet.
Why, you do... I mean, okay, sir. Anyway, I was wondering if I could have, tomorrow off.
You want to have tomorrow off, and I bet you know what you want to have tomorrow off. On account of the Christmas and everything, right?
Well, yes, sir. I mean, I want to make merry and stuff like that.
What does that mean, make merry?
I know, it sounds a little fruity, but you know what I mean.
You mean like this?
Wow, Bing Crosby.
Sucks. Anyway, you want to make merry? Okay, fine. Fine excuse to pick a man's pocket once a year, but go ahead, go on home, have your, whatever you do with your people, I don't know what the hell. And that little cripple boy, too. Oh, my God, what the hell is this place, man? I got Mary Kay people coming in out here. What do you want?
Hello. Is this Ebenezer Dickman?
Yeah, I'm Ebenezer Dickman.
Oh, very good to see you, sir. My name is Rudy Canonza. This is Herb Sewell.
Yeah, what do you guys want? I think I've seen you around town.
Well, thank you, sir. You see, sir, we are merchants like yourself here on the street, here on the main street, here on the Strand, in this very crowded yet bustling part of London.
London, you're Spain, and you're a guy that hangs out around playgrounds. What's that mean?
Well, on this particular day, we're both respectable businessmen in this thing called a Christmas Carol. So could we get on with it?
Yeah, what do you want?
Well, we feel that we could put you down for a few farthing, just a few bloody farthing. That's to help the poor, you know, people who have no position in life. Yes, how much could we put you down for?
What's the matter? Ain't there no workhouses? Ain't there no jails? Ain't there no places like Salvation Army, the Goodwill, and that other thing that I saw on TV that one time?
I'm sure there are a great many of those places, sir, but they're all very, very ragged and run down, and places that don't do the poor, the handicapped well at all. Yes, they are nothing more than they're warehouses, human warehouses for people to sit and have no life at all. Many of the people in there are veterans, you know, veterans of the war.
Yeah, I've seen it all. I've seen that one thing on Military Channel, pretty good. I always give money to those groups, and I give money at the supermarket when they want it for prostate cancer. I even gave money at one time for breast cancer. So I've given all the money of what I'll need to do.
Can't we put you down for anything?
Are you still here? Get out of here, will you?
Well, I just...
Get out, go on. Can you put me down? Yeah. Put you down? You're ugly. And I don't like the hairpiece. How's that for a put-down?
Mr. Dickman?
What?
I was...
Oh, yeah. You want to go home, don't you? And be...
I want to make Mary.
Is that her name?
My wife...
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Get out of here and... Bah, humbug. Sucks.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And a merry, 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 quite contrary.
Ha, ha, ha.
And so Bob Cratchit made his way home. Made his way home to his loving wife, Mrs. Cratchit, and his children, including Tidy Tim.
Oh, it looks like your father is home. Oh, my goodness gracious. And what has he brought with him?
Well, what's it look like?
Well, I don't know. You're holding it with both hands, and... I know what it is, Dad. I think it's a goose.
That's right. It's a goose.
Well, what is that?
It's the goose's neck.
Oh.
Yes, we'll have goose. We'll have pudding. We'll have goose pudding. We'll have goose for an appetizer. We'll have goose for leftovers. It's just going to be a fat goose holiday. What do you think?
That's kooky, Daddy.
Thank you.
Darling, it's so good to have you home here on Christmas Eve. Even if you do work for that Schweinhund, das Schweinhund there, Mr. Dickman.
Now. Let's not talk poorly of Ebenezer Dickman.
Besides, Dad, that's the part of the dream, or of Dickman's dream, that he's supposed to see. Oh, never mind.
Yes, the Cratchits celebrated, but trudging home himself that evening was Ebenezer Dickman. Ebenezer Dickman on his way home alone. But that's just the way he liked it.
I don't care about any of that stuff. Gonna get home, have a hot, get a gruel, and be done with it.
Then, as Ebenezer Dickman approached his front door, it appeared to him that there was an apparition right there on the knocker.
What the hell in the name of the everything of the... Oh! Guess it wasn't nothing. I gotta get in and maybe get out of these wet clothes or something. Or maybe I need to get in and get into some wet clothes. Or maybe I should get in and... I don't know. This door needs oiling too.
Yes, an apparition did appear before Ebenezer Dickman.
Ebenezer Dickman! Oh, Ebenezer Dickman!
Who are you?
I am Robert Leonard. Robert Leonard Marley. You remember me? I was your partner for 7 years.
You've been dead 7 years. You were my partner for like 20.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, I came out of that deal with about as much money as if I'd worked with you for 7 years. I do know that much. But anyway, I'm here to tell you. So, if you don't change your ways... You're going down, man. Going down for the count.
What are you talking about?
I mean that out there in the world today, mankind is suffering. And these chains that I wear, I forged. For every single chain I wear are the years I wasted on this earth amassing wealth and not doing nothing for nobody.
Why hunt me, Spirit? Or Robert, or whatever they call you now. Why are you bothering me?
Because you was my partner. Who the hell am I going to talk to? You're the only guy I know. You're the only guy that was a friend of mine, if you call that being a friend. Excuse me.
How come you belch? You're a ghost.
Well, the guy's got to eat. I had some of your gruel doing the same thing to me. I think I see a ghost. Nope, that's you.
Get out of here, Spirit. Go away and don't even bug me and... Go away.
Cut it out. Stop it. Don't quit being a ghost.
Ebenezer Dickman had seen the spirit of Robert Leonard Marley, his partner, warning him that there would be three spirits visiting him that night. Let's recap, shall we?
There's going to be three spirits. One of them's going to come to you about 1 o'clock, and that's going to be the ghost of Prison Pass. Another one, 2 o'clock, ghost of Prison Pass. 7 o'clock, ghost of Prison Pass. Got that?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to go to bed. None of this stuff makes sense to me. Probably just an undigested piece of pork, maybe a small sizzling that I had, or had a little bit of Jimmy Dean bacon earlier. Could have been that. Oh, I know what it was. One of them sliders I had at White Castle. Yeah, sure, that's what does it. They always do that. Have a slider, see a ghost. Well, I'll go to bed.
And so, Ebenezer Dickman did go to bed. But awaiting him, at the stroke of 1, the first spirit of Christmas. The Phil Hendry Show, Christmas Carol continues. After this.
Yep, no sliders will do it.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ebenezer Dickman has gone to bed for the night, but he'd been told by his partner, Jacob Robert Leonard Marley, to expect three spirits, the first of whom would appear at the tone and the dull sound and the
stroke of 1.
At the stroke of 1, thank you.
Oh my God, what was that? Must have been the stroke of 1. Must be time now for you-know-who. Oh, please. Please don't let the spirit be spooky. Please don't let it scare me. Please don't let it be creepy. Please don't let it... Wait a minute, what the hell is that? What is that?
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Who are you? What are you doing in my room? Wait a minute.
Well, duh. I must be the ghost of Christmas present who wants to be here, you know. Or ghost of Christmas past. I'm sorry, I got it wrong.
You must be the ghost of Christmas past.
I know, I got it wrong. I'm sorry. Run away, I brought along a little bit of this soft cell, you know.
Yeah, you're the ghost of Christmas past, all right.
Oh, get you. It's time now for you to look at your past to see how you did things wrong, and you know.
You mean I'm going to look at my past when I was a kid and see how I was happy and how I've turned into kind of a dirty, stinking, rotten old guy?
Yeah, pretty much, uh-huh.
All right. How are we going to do this?
Well, all you have to do is touch my robe.
Oh, God, please, Spirit. Please, Spirit, where are we going?
On through the night, the ghost of Christmas past and Ebenezer Dickman flew. On through the night, until they arrived at Old Fezziwig's. Yes, where Ebenezer Dickman learned his trade.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? And you know we have that party you're all putting down, huh?
This is the greatest party here as usual, Mr. Fezziwig. It never fails.
Yeah. You know something, Ebenezer Dickman, I think you're going to be one fine account someday. It's just some things you have to learn, you know. Number one, you can't steal. You have to stop stealing. But I think if you stop stealing, you'll be good.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mr. Fezziwig. I think I can figure it out.
Well, you and Hardy here, you the two best guys I got. Hell, let's turn all the lights off. Let's get some of them disco lights up. Let's get some food going. Everybody close the windows. Let's party.
Yeah.
I tell you. Boy, that Ebenezer Dickman, he can really dance.
Look at him go.
What do they call that anyway?
I think it's breakdancing. Yeah.
Man, that Ebenezer, I don't know whether that kid's going to make a great businessman someday or be a judge on X Factor.
Yeah, who are all those people?
You don't recognize them, do you?
I do know Mr. Fezziwig, but... Oh, that's me!
Look at you, breakdancing. Really laying it down there, aren't you?
I used to really kind of like dancing.
That was back when you had hope for the future. Back when you actually enjoyed life. Back when you even spoke to your little sister, Fanny.
Oh, no.
Fanny.
But Ebenezer, if you would just simply talk to our father.
I don't want to talk to him. He's a turd and a half. He's a turd in a bag. Just as soon light him on fire and put him on a doorstep. Has some step on it by stink.
Oh, please, Ebenezer. Please come back home with me for Christmas, or home with with me, yeah.
What's wrong with you anyway?
No, just a sort of a speech impediment. But I know that we'd love to have you, and Father is... He's so cruel and mean and evil and such a turd, but you're right. He can be a much, much better man if you see him and make amends and, you know, all that stuff.
Forget it. I'm going to go to London, make a whole bunch of money, and then I'll send for you, Fanny.
No, you never will.
Fanny! Fanny!
You never will.
Fanny! Where'd she go, ghost?
You know what happened to Fanny. You never spoke to her again.
Fanny, my little sister, gone.
It's your fault, ass.
You know, girls, you really make a good wind sound.
Thank you.
On through the night they flew, only to deposit Ebenezer back, snug as a bug in a rug in his bed, the ghost of Christmas past.
Boy, that's over with.
Think of all the kicks have just begun. The next up, you'll see the ghost of Christmas present, and then the ghost of Christmas future, and then...
Then ain't I supposed to be reformed?
Yeah, something like that.
And just with a flash, as quickly as she'd come, she disappeared into the night, the ghost of Christmas past. Where's that door slamming? There we thank you very much. The ghost of Christmas past always closes the door behind her.
Very polite ghost.
And so Ebenezer slept until the next ghost appeared.
Hey, Ted Bell here, Ghost of Christmas Present. How you been?
I just got to sleep.
Well, don't worry about it, because we're about to go on another trip, and we're going to head out of town to see how people are living right now here with me, Ted Bell, the Ghost of Christmas Present. How do you feel about that?
I'm telling you, man, I wasn't a stroke of two or nothing. I was in bed for like 5 minutes.
Oh, quit your crying. I want you to touch my robe, only my robe. What a perv.
No. I didn't do nothing like that.
Yeah, you did. I seen what you did with that ghost of Christmas past. She told me all about it. We're going to go and we're going to see what people are doing right now.
Like who?
Like your nephew who is going to invite you to that party. We're going to find out about what Bob Cratchit's doing, all kinds of stuff. But we're going to do that right after these commercial announcements, because I may be the ghost of Christmas present. I'm also Ted Bell. I give you all a boy
could give you. Take my the Phil Henry Christmas Carol will return. With the ghost of Christmas present, Ted Bell, and the ghost of Christmas future still to come, here on The Phil Henry Show.
Make it quick, will you?
Shut up. And don't forget the baseball steak at the ghost of Christmas present's Ted Bell's Ted's of Beverly Hills restaurant.
And now we return to Phil Hendry's A Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Dickman has been awakened by the ghost of Christmas present, who has come into his room to take him on a journey.
I'm Ted Bell, the ghost of Christmas present, and have I got a surprise for you. We're going to go see what everybody's doing today, this Christmas morning.
What a wonderful...
Oh. Ouch! Yow! Hey!
Jordan!
I love that! I love it! I love it deeply! It's putting a hurt on my ears. The hurt on your... Yeah, lay it down, man. We're about to fly around and see what everybody's doing today on Christmas. Today, Christmas present.
Do I know you, Spirit?
Well, you might have met some of my brothers. I've got over 1,900 of them. Actually, over 2,000 of them now. 2010, to be exact. I would be 2011.
2011. Let's see. That's the all the way back.
The birth of Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah. Aren't you a sharp one? And they flew through the night, only to alight right outside of the house of humble Bob Cratchit. Merry, merry Christmas, my little ones.
Boy, Dad, this is the best Christmas I ever had.
Thank you very much, Billy. And Tiny Tim, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I was hoping I'd be able to go to a military academy, but on account of I'm a cripple, I guess not.
Don't you talk like that.
Don't talk like that, Tiny Tim. Please don't. Someday maybe you'll be cured if we can make enough money, if your father ever gets a job. I mean,
Jesus. Hey, don't talk that way. Ebenezer Dickman does the best he can. He's provided this bounty for this table, hasn't he?
I spit on him. I spit on his name, and I spit on the very man himself.
Not on Christmas, dear. Any other day. Tomorrow, I'll join you in that. Yesterday would have been a good day.
But not today. Not today. Easy, Dad.
Okay.
All right. I'll toast the health of...
Mr. Dickman. And I say, God bless us all, one and all.
Gee, they're toasting me, and I'm a douchebag.
You pretty much got that hit that nail on the head, kid. You are pretty much a douchebag. And yet, that's the spirit of Christmas. Even if you're a douche, people will celebrate you.
Where are we going now?
We're going over to your nephew Dave's. He's having himself a party, too.
Yeah.
Tell you what, man. If you know that guy, I know him, man. I can get that stuff for you. I can get it wholesale.
All right.
You tell me all about that. Yeah, sure enough. Merry
Christmas. Well, they look like they're having such a good time.
I can tell you that your nephew Dave keeps Christmas the way it should be kept.
Hey, get some of that spinata, you know, and the tamales and everything like that. Then I want to drink a toast, you know. Hey, what's your Uncle Dickman doing right now? I thought you invited him to this thing. Yeah, I do. I invite him every year. He's a great man, you know, but I guess he just doesn't want to come.
What's wrong with him? You know, he got something wedged?
Yeah, my uncle, he's just angry, you know. I think he's had a tough life.
Tell me about it, man. We all had tough lives. Don't have to walk around taking a crap on everybody you meet.
He doesn't mean nothing by it, you know. I'm always going to love him, and I'm always going to raise him up as my uncle. Even if he is the kind of guy that, you know, wouldn't pee on if he was on fire walking across the street. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Woo! All right!
Wouldn't pee on me if I was on fire. I believe I just heard him say that.
Yes, but you did hear him say he is the kind of guy that you ordinarily wouldn't want to do that for, but he'd do it for you.
Oh, well.
Merry Christmas, baby. Judy, treat me now.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, brother.
And a very Merry Christmas to you, too.
It's going to be a beautiful day.
Beautiful day.
Look at all the people celebrating Christmas. And what are you doing, laying up there in your bed? Paddling it.
I wouldn't paddle nothing.
Yeah, sure. Excuse me.
On through the night, they flew back to Dickman's place. Just in time to deposit his ass back in bed before the strike of three.
All right, well, you're on your own now. The next spirit, you know who he is.
Yeah, they said it's going to be the ghost of Christmas future. What's he look like?
Anyway, certainly hope you can join me at my place just as soon as I, you know, get a body and all this. I don't know how long they got me for this gig, but it's really beginning to wear me out.
Bong. At the sound of the tone, 3 a.m.
Sunbank time.
What woke me up? Nothing should have woke me up, but something did wake me up.
Yeah. How you doing?
you're the ghost of Christmas future?
That's exactly who I am, the ghost of Christmas future. I'm speaking because this is a radio gig, and let's face it, you got no sound, you know, but...
You wearing a black robes and a skeleton hand?
That's right. Don't knock it till you tried it. Well, it's time now, Dickman. Yeah, it's time. Time for you to meet your future.
Oh, please, ghost. I hope that the things you show me are only the shadows of things that could possibly be, and that...
Will you shut up, man? We haven't even taken off yet, and already you're a pain in the ass! The ghost of Christmas future flew Dickman through the night, flying him through the night air, on his way to his destiny.
I'll tell you right now, I'll give you $5 for that, and that's the last amount of money I do.
Okay, look, I got this. This was in his bedroom. These are all his monogrammed shirts and everything like that.
Told you, I'd give you $5 for that.
Look, Bozell, I'm going to give you $5 for this, okay? I'm telling you right now, I'm keeping these. I'm going to keep that watch, all right?
All right, then I'm going to keep this bracelet here made out of turquoise.
Yeah, whatever. Man, you are so lame. You are so...
Hey, let me tell you something, Brass.
What are they doing, Spirit?
What are they doing? They're dividing up the effects of a man who's just died.
Well, it's not have been very well thought of. It just... going over his stuff like it's nothing, like it's just the spoils of a robbery.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what it was, too.
Shut up, will you? Erica Dorton, she's the principal of my kid's school, and she's even stealing.
Yeah, well, you're the one, okay? You said she'd come along.
Mrs. Dorton, I don't care what you say, I still support Ron Paul. Let me have that.
No, that's mine. All that's mine, okay? Those are my shower curtains.
Well, what do I get?
I don't know. Hey.
Underwear?
Yeah, they don't have much respect for that guy, do they?
No. I sure hope it isn't anybody I know.
Wouldn't you like to... Wouldn't you... Would, oh, boy.
Wouldn't I like to know?
Wouldn't you be surprised?
Where are we going now, Spirit?
Going now here into the worst part of town. Worst part of town. There's poverty and ignorance and disease. All kind of stuff.
However, that guy over there's jamming. Yeah, like that.
But anyway, you have to beware, Dickman. Oh, yeah, you gotta beware of these two children.
Ah! What are they?
One is ignorance. The other is starvation. No, wait. One is starvation and the other... No.
That one looks like it's hungry.
That's starvation, yeah. And that one... And you gotta be afraid of one of them, I forget which.
Oh, please. This place scares me most of all. This place is... It looks like it's some kind of a graveyard.
That's exactly what it is. It's a cemetery. It's a cemetery where you are going to meet your future.
No. No, please, Spirit. Don't say it's true, Spirit. Don't say it's true.
It's true. They walked along the tombstones. And they looked until finally they came across one...
Dickman! Barry, tell me that these things are just the images...
Are you going to go through that again?
Well, yeah. These are images of things that could be, that aren't going to be, but can be, that won't be.
I can't tell you. And just like that, Ebenezer Dickman was deposited back in his bed in time for the dawning of the day.
Man, what a dream. Oh, baby, what a dream. That was about as spooky a deal as I ever... And wait a minute, I'm here. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm not dead. I'm not a creep. I'm not a weird ass. Nobody's dividing my stuff up. I've got a chance. Merry Christmas, everybody. Let me see what kind of a day is out there. Oh, a beautiful day. A gorgeous day. A wunderbar day. You know, hey, there's a kid out there. Hey, kid. Kid. Kid.
What?
Kid. You know that goose that's down at
at the Vaughn's?
No, no.
Kroger's?
Not Kroger's or Vaughn's.
Bristol Farm.
Bristol Farm, yeah. Kid, you know the big one?
Well, yeah, I know the one that's hanging in the window. It's really expensive. I was hoping I'd get it.
Tell you what I'll do, kid. You buy that for me, and I'll give you a tip half the price of the goose. What do you think?
Bull crap.
The full price of the goose.
Take it.
Oh, this is going to be a great day, because I'm alive. And because I'm not dead, and because I have a chance to save my soul and everything that's just so great. It's boy, that wasn't all that hard, just three dreams, you know.
And so, Ebenezer Dickman got dressed, made arrangements to have the goose delivered to Bob Cratchit's house, and then paid a visit he'd been meaning to pay for a long, long time.
Yeah, so anyway, man, I told him like that. But you know what? If you want to come and buy it...
Yeah, do that.
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah, who's that?
Hey. Hey, Dave.
Hey, wait a second. Shut up, you guys. Shut up. It's my uncle Ebenezer. He's at the door, man. Hey, Ebenezer, how you doing?
Hi, Dave. I...
Ebenezer Dickman. Hey, look. Let's see. That's Sleepy. Pookie, that's Elmo right there. Okay, that's Stretch. That's Treetop. Gangrene, that's his old lady. That's Lucy.
Yeah, hi, everybody. Hi.
Yeah, hey, what's up? Yeah.
Hey, this is so good to see you.
Well, you know, nephew, I feel like I've been remiss all these years that I haven't not even been by to see you and anything like that. And, well, I just brought a couple of bottles here and there's some...
Yeah, like that. Yeah, look at this. Check it out, man. Tres Generaciones, huh?
I saved the Julio for myself.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay. And I just want to say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, nephew.
Hey, same to you, uncle. And you know, I hope you're back like next year and the year after. You know, we're going to get married. You know that, Wanda and I getting married.
Yeah, I know that. Congratulations.
Charmed, I'm sure.
So anyway, a Merry Christmas to you, Uncle Dickman, and a Happy New Year, and I don't know, Hanukkah, do you do that?
Yeah, probably.
Yes, Ebenezer Dickman said a Happy New Year and a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah to his nephew, Dave, who at that point was pretty drunk. Then again, weren't we all? And then he paid a visit to, you got it, Bob Cratchit's.
So it is! Man, I love that song. It's the best song that I know.
Oh, Bob, you are in your cups.
You got it.
Hey, hold on, Daddy.
Yeah, what I say, Payne?
Hey, Bob Cratchit, it's me, Ebenezer Dickman.
What I say?
It's me, Ebenezer Dickman.
Oh, it's Ebenezer Dickman, honey.
Is who?
It's me, Ebenezer Dickman. Bob Cratchit, me, Ebenezer Dickman.
What do you do?
Oh, he's drunk. You know.
I can't say as I blame him. Mrs. Cratchit, I want to apologize to you. Here is a large goose, about 30 pounds. I got it for you. You do the cooking. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, my God. I don't believe it. Honey, Bob.
Hey,
look what he gave us. All these toys, and the children are happy, and you're drunk. What a great Christmas.
You got that right.
Yes, Ebenezer Dickman, from that day forward, kept Christmas. In fact, everyone said he was such a tightwad, he kept Christmas all to himself. Just kidding. He kept Christmas the way you ought to keep Christmas. You know, just keep Christmas. The next day...
Yeah, UCLA Medical Center.
Hi. Is this the place where you're keeping Tiny Tim to get the foot fixed?
Yeah, sure.
This is Ebenezer Dickman.
Oh, yeah, you're the guy that came in with the kid and you had the check and you got to pay for the kid's foot, huh?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I took another look at my finances. I don't think I'll be able to afford it, so could you...
Okay, we'll kick the kid out.
Thank you.
Phil Hendry's third annual Christmas Carol. Tiny Tim still hasn't gotten the foot fixed.
Yeah.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Pretty good, Mr. Henry.
Well, thank you. You know, every year it's different because we do it live, and although the sound effects thing really pissed me off this year.
You gotta get that lined up, man.
Well, what do you mean I gotta get it lined up? You guys are supposed to have the sound effects. I'm running here with the music. I thought it was pretty good, but next year we gotta get more wind, man. I can't have the Ghost of Christmas Past doing it.
Well...
Anyway, Bud Dickman as Ebenezer Dickman, very good Bud, and Robert, outstanding as Jacob Marley, as usual.
Yeah, pretty good, but again, I was, you know.
Yeah, we got it. You were fine, man. You were fine. All right. Anyway, we thank you guys. We will see you when the new year dawns. Remember to, you know, do whatever you got to do to make the world, like, really cool. You don't have to go out of your way to be overly, you know, I don't know, whatever, obsequious. Just go out and do some good stuff over the Christmas holidays. Treat yourself to a good time. Have yourself a couple of pops. Have yourself something to eat. First of the year, get back on the diet, you fat slob. I'm kidding. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by me, Phil Henry, and, of course, Dan Northcraft. And as we always do, we leave you each and every year with the fairy tale of New York. This is The Pogues with Christy McCall.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby.
So we got about we got plenty of music. We'll probably come out of this song 30 seconds short of the end of the song. So we've got plenty of music. No, what I'm saying is we'll have plenty of music. So all you're going to have to do is hit the stinger, okay?
Hey, Dan.
Dan? I got 55:30. I got 55:40 right now. So, 1 minute. Okay. I'm just going to fade it right out to 40, and you go ahead and hit it, man.
Christmas Day.
Phil Henry.